This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am happy to be with you today. I'm happy to be with you for ever so many reasons, but one reason that I'm happy to be with you is because God has given us this time to give Him praise and to give Him glory, and we love to do that right here on Women of Grace Live. As a matter of fact, we dedicate a whole day to it, and that day is tomorrow. It's Glory to God Day. So here is your assignment. Here's your assignment for the day and the evening. Be looking back over this past week, and of course it's still unfolding for us, right? Because we still have all of today. But be on the lookout for the way in which God is blessing you. Be aware of that, and then tomorrow call in and share with us what your biggest blessing has been through the course of this past week. I love to use Fridays in that way. I really do. Because Scripture is always telling us that, you know, we're to proclaim, you know, from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when we see His Lordship happening in our own lives, gracious, that increases our capacity to trust in Him and to have hope in Him. So we like to take that time on Fridays to do exactly what Sacred Scripture tells us to do. We're not exactly on a mountaintop, but we are on the airwaves, and I guess they're pretty high in the sky. And so I think it qualifies. So we certainly do want for you to think about all of that so that you can call us tomorrow. Now, that does not mean that I don't want you to call me today. I certainly want you to call me today. One of the great thrills that I have in life, one of the great joys that is mine, is to see those phone lines lighting up, because I know I get an opportunity to talk with you, and it's such a privilege to do that. And I so am grateful to God for your generosity in making us a part of your day and then calling in with your questions or your comments. I love having holy conversation with you. I live to do that. As a matter of fact, I love having holy conversation in person, on the air, on television, everywhere. I just love to have holy conversation. So please do give us a call today. Here is that toll-free number for you. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. We also invite you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Simply use it there. Put your name in. Tell us where you are. If you're listening some other way and you're just communicating to us through YouTube or Facebook, that's fine, but tell us how it is that you are listening to us. And then leave your question or comment in that chat feature. We'll get it collected and up on the board. Additionally, you can text us. Text your question or comment to these letters, EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Yep. And then you wait for a response. Put in your question or comment. Again, want to know who you are, where you are, how you're listening, and do know that data and message rates may apply if you choose to that option. Now, at the front end of the program, I like to tell you about everything that's going on, and I'll tell you, I have a very, very busy fall. I've had it. It's been busy, and it's going to remain busy, and November is really speeding up. I think I'm going to be gone 3 weekends in a row, which I typically don't try to do, but that's the way it worked out this time. But what I do try to do is to say yes as often as I can, because I love being with all of you out there in person. And I've got some beautiful events that are coming up here very, very soon. I do want to share those with you. I am going to be in Texas. I just came back from Texas, and here is the good news. I'm going back to Texas again, and I am going to be in Belton, Texas. In Belton, Texas. I think that that's up around Austin. I could be wrong, but somehow I think that it is. And I am going to be with all of the lovely people of Armor of God Catholic Radio, and I'm going to be there for their benefit banquet there in Belton, Texas. When am I going to be there? Saturday, November the 22nd. That is the big day. Yes, it is. So I'm asking you to mark your calendar if you're up in that area. If you're listening to me today via Armor of God, then certainly I want for you to be there. We are going to be at Christ the King Catholic Church Parish Hall in Belton, Texas. That's Christ the King Catholic Church Parish Hall in Belton, Texas, on November the 22nd, beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. and running until 9:15 p.m. And as I say, I am going to be the keynote speaker for this beautiful evening of fun and fellowship, and a lovely way for you to participate in raising the funds that are necessary for Armor of God Catholic Radio Network to stay on the air. That's what this is. It's a beautiful, beautiful benefit banquet there. So how nice that's going to be. There's going to be all kinds of exclusive bucket raffle prizes and maybe a few other surprises too. Who knows? I just think the people in Belton are just so thrilled about having you with them that they're just going to roll out the red carpet and hold nothing back. Cocktail hour begins from 6 and it lasts until 7. There'll be raffle tickets on sale at that time. The bucket raffle's open. And, you know, that's the time that you have to interact with each other, right? And I'm going to be there and you'll have an opportunity to come up to me and talk with me. I'll be doing a meet and greet from 6:15 to 6:45. But I'll tell you what, I'm available to you the whole time that we are there. So you just come on up to me any old time and we'll chit chat. 7 o'clock p.m. is welcome and invocation. Dinner starts at 7:15. And then somewhere around 7:45, they're going to have a heads or tails game. I have no idea what that's about. Anytime I think of heads or tails, I think of pin the tail on the donkey. So I have no idea if it's related to that in any way, but this is Texas after all, and they do have cows out there and all kinds of critters. So who knows? And I will then speak at 8 o'clock p.m. Then there'll be a raffle drawing, and then we all say goodbye, and we go our separate ways. But boy, oh boy, how nice that God is going to have our ways intersect right there in Belton, Texas, November 22nd at Christ the King Catholic Church Parish Hall in Belton, Texas, on East 24th Avenue. So please do mark your calendars and join us. I mean, it's just a lovely opportunity to support those individuals who are giving everything they've got to bringing Catholic radio to you. So looking forward to that. That's coming up. Prior to that, I just want to let you know, we've got some lovely events that are going to be happening, evening event and a daytime event, and everything gets started on November the 5th. That's this coming Wednesday. Can you believe it? It's going to be November the 5th, this Wednesday. I keep scratching my head, you know, and looking. I'm looking in every nook and cranny for where October disappeared to. But here we are next to the last day in this month. But on November the 5th, which is Wednesday evening from 7 to 9, you can join us for Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics online study. So I invite you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and register to join us there. Of course, order your study guide, Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics online study. It's interesting. I was showing the bishop of our diocese here, Bishop Stephen Reka. I was showing him Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics along with the Vicar General. And both of these men looked at this book and they said, "This is so beautiful." And they just sat there turning page after page, really enjoying what it was that they were seeing. There's a reason for that. Not only is it beautiful in the way in which it's been, you know, graphically designed and laid out, but it's also beautiful from the standpoint of what the treasures are that are inside. So I want for you to receive all of that. It's going to be Wednesday evenings beginning November the 5th from 7 to 9. And if you can't make it in the evening, don't worry. Beginning on November the 6th, we have a daytime offering for another study, Moments with Mary, Who is Mary? More to come on that. On the other side of the break, stay with us, 833-288-EWTN. Give me a call.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Once again, you are listening to Women of Grace Live, which makes me absolutely delighted. I love being with you Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. I'm always eager to hear from you here. I'm going to give you the number to use to join us today live, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the number to use toll free here in North America. So, you know, don't delay. Call right away. We want to talk with you today. We surely do. Matthew Gubensky will gather your phone call together and get it up on the board for me, and I will be able to address it and talk with you on the air. If you cannot be on the air with me, but you still want to communicate with me, here's a way that you can do that. Go on out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving and also collecting your text messages. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. I'll address it. Do know that data and message rates may apply if you use that option. So I was telling you as we went to the break there that we do have a second opportunity for you to participate in Moments with Mary studies. Now, we have two of them so far in this series. I would like to get more than those. I'm working on them slowly but surely. But the two that we've got available right now and that will be offered online beginning the first week of November is Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics, and that is November the 5th. It begins running through December the 17th. It's a 6-week online study. It's in the evening on Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. But then we also have in the Moments with Mary series, Who is Mary? That too is a six-week online study, and that is going to be Thursday daytime, and it will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So, you know, we really, really are trying our very best to pick times that most people can participate. So I'm hoping that one of those two time slots suits you. All you have to do is to get out there and to register. And you register right at our website. When you go out, click on events, you'll see them listed there. You click on them and register, and be sure to get your study guide, right? Because it's going to be necessary, and we'll do everything we possibly can to get that to you as quickly as we possibly can. But it's a great opportunity. Really, really is. These are beautiful studies. The women who have gone through them are really just so grateful for them, because it helps them to come into, you know, a deeper understanding of our Blessed Lady, who she is, why she's important to us in our walk of faith, but also, and perhaps most importantly, to deepen their relationship with her. And, you know, I put these studies together, and I can honestly tell you, I love our Blessed Mother so, so very much. And I know that because she is this treasure of heaven, she is the woman clothed with sun. She is the woman with a crown of 12 stars on her head. She is the woman who smites the head of the serpent. She is the woman who has been inviolate from the moment of her conception till the present day, never having committed a sin. She whom the angel called full of grace, kakeratomene, she who has been and always will be full of grace. That's how that Greek word translates. That is the tense of that word. She who has been and always will be full of grace, kakeratomene. When we begin to realize who she is, we know that because the divine life has taken up residence within her so completely that we can never exhaust the wonder of who she is. And so even in putting these studies together, not particularly planning on praying through these studies, I can tell you that I was being led prayerfully in the development of these. They are quite unique. So I'm certainly inviting you to join us for one of these two online studies. If you would like to know Our Lady better, or if you would like to deepen your relationship with her, or if you would like to just understand her, you know, theologically understand her, you know, why does the church teach what she teaches about Our Lady? Then this is the study for you. Either one of them, really wonderful. Who is Mary? Takes you into the answers to that question. And Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics shows you the way in which Mary has interacted and continues to interact with her children. And, you know, that's through apparitions and very kinds of extraordinary ways. But I want to tell you that our Blessed Mother, you know, you don't have to have an apparition of Our Lady to get to know Our Lady very, very well. And she wants to get you To experience the beauty and the wonder of her maternal beatitude. So I'm inviting you to join us there. But I'm inviting you to join me on air today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. And so I am encouraging you to use that number and to call us. Also encouraging you to go out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page and use that opportunity. Chat feature is there for you. Or text the letters EWTN to 58177. You can communicate with us that way too. Do know that data and message rates will apply. Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving today. Matthew Gubensky answering the phones. And Vanessa Sanchez, the wonderful, the beautiful, the lovely, the absolutely premier producer, is making the show happen today. All of those accolades, I don't know, Vanessa, my gracious sakes. All of that being said, we want to hear from you today. And I think that we might have somebody out there, so I'm going to ask for a little bit of help here, Vanessa. Can you help me out? Okay, maybe not right away. So I'm looking here at this beautiful chapter in this wonderful book that I have called Our Gift from God, written by Father Emil Neubert. Now, if you don't know Father Neubert, I want to encourage you to get to know him, because he was a beautiful lover of Our Blessed Lady. As a matter of fact, his religious order was established and founded underneath her patronage with a very real charism for making Our Lady better known. And he is a Marianist priest, a beautiful priest of God who passed away decades ago. But nonetheless, his books are classics. And one of the great classics that I've read to you from in the past is Jesus, Son of Mary, My Ideal. I never know if it's My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary, or if it's the other way, Jesus, Son of Mary, My Ideal. And that's a beautiful book. But this one, Our Gift from God, is also beautiful. And he is talking with us here about Our Blessed Mother, and he talks about the first of Mary's two great plans for us. And he says this: if we have given ourselves entirely to Mary to assist in her grand mission in this world, it is not true to say that our primary duty is to work at the salvation of others. Isn't that an interesting thing? Isn't that interesting what he's saying? He's telling us a whole lot in that one sentence. He's saying, if we have given ourselves entirely to Mary to assist in her grand mission in this world, and here he's talking about a consecration to Jesus through Mary, and maybe we'll just chat about this for a moment here. This is a very important thing to understand and to understand properly. In no way, shape, or form, when we consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, are we replacing our Lord. In no way are we taking anything away from our Lord. In no way are we stultifying our hoped-for progress in the spiritual life and in relationship with God. We are doing none of those things. What we are doing is entrusting us ourselves to our Blessed Lady to do for us what she did for Jesus. And what is it that our Blessed Mother did for Jesus? Well, first of all, our Blessed Lady gave birth to Jesus. She surrendered completely to the one who is the Word made flesh before he was flesh. She surrendered perfectly to the will of God the Father and to the Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and to the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that act of surrendering, in that fiat that she gave, which is an act of total self-surrender, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in the first place, our Blessed Lady gave herself completely to her Son by way of her surrender to be his mother, right? That complete and total gift of self that she gave to the Father, do with me whatever you say, right? Be it done unto me according to thy word. That's what Our Lady said. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because that intimates that our Blessed Mother wanted to do the will of the Father, you know, be it done unto me according to thy word. As you say, Father, so may it be. But who is she also surrendering to by that very statement? The word. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And how is it done? It's done by way of the power of the Holy Spirit, who affects the things of God. So what a beautiful, beautiful reality, right? So when we consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, we are asking our mother to in some way incorporate us into her very fiat that gave life to Jesus Christ. Now, we will never conceive Jesus in our wombs. I'm talking specifically to women here since we are the only one that has a womb. But we can all give birth to Jesus within the womb of our heart, within the inner depths of our being, right? We can do that. As a matter of fact, in the closing messages of the Second Vatican Council, the Council Fathers tell women specifically, women who are impregnated with the spirit of the gospel can do so much to aid humanity in not falling. But in a sense, that applies to all of us, male and female, because when we invite Jesus into the inner confines of our being, he takes up residence within our heart, but within the deepest part of our being, within the womb of our heart. Beautiful thought, beautiful concept, especially for a man to meditate upon, because in that way, as the great theologians tell us, the soul has a feminine dimension, that quality for receptivity. And in a sense, that's what we're talking about here. So Jesus loses nothing. As a matter of fact, what happens is being tucked into Mary's, perfect fiat, our fiat takes on a bit of that maternal luster that is hers. Our heart takes on a bit of that beatitude that belongs to Our Lady. So in that way, we take nothing away from Jesus. We basically enter more deeply, and his divine life has capacity to enter more deeply into us. These are mysteries of faith. These are not mysteries that we can comprehend. We can gain some type of a of an ability to comprehend them, but we're never going to plumb the depths of them, even to the extent that we grasp some notion of them. That's never going to happen. We'll never exhaust them. So in that way, does Mary do for us what she did for Jesus? She helps for us to receive him. But how else? How else? What else did Mary do for Jesus? Well, she gave birth to him. Right? She didn't keep him for herself. She gave birth to him for the world and for his mission. And so our Blessed Mother takes us into that reality of her maternal beatitude. We too, not only can conceive him in the wombs of our heart, but we give birth to him in the world. In a certain way, that perfect gift of the Christ child that comes by way of Our Lady becomes a portion of our gift. And so when we speak of our Lord Jesus Christ, it has a decidedly Marian flavor to it, a decided Marian character, which is perfect because she is the perfect mother of the Most High God. It's incredible. But that's not all that Mary does. She raises Jesus, doesn't she, though? She raises him. Who do you think it is that taught Jesus the scripture? It was Saint Joseph and Our Lady. It was our Blessed Mother who suckled him at her breast. It was our Blessed Mother who was with him every day, teaching him how to do the little things that we teach our little children. It was our Blessed Mother who was training him up in the ways in which he should go from the time he was a toddler and stood by him all through his life. And our Blessed Mother will do that too. Her maternal rearing, her maternal training, her maternal teaching becomes something that happens in our life too. And what was she training Jesus about? She was training him about the Father, and she was preparing him for his mission. And Our Lady will do that for us too. That's what consecration to Jesus through Mary is all about. And then what else? If that isn't good enough, what else happens? What else does our Blessed Mother continue to do? Not only does she bring Jesus Christ to the world, but she brings the world to Jesus Christ And we participate in her mission of doing that. And that is what Father Emil Neubert is saying. If we have given ourselves entirely to Mary to assist in her grand mission in the world, and what is her grand mission in the world? To bring Jesus Christ to the world and to bring the world to Jesus Christ. He says, it is not true to say that our primary duty is to work at the salvation of others, although it is. It is a duty. But is it our primary duty? He says, defining the Society of Mary in the Constitutions of 1839, the founder, who was Blessed Chaminade, calls it a group of outstanding children of Mary who, without any human respect, have united to support the interests of their august mother, first of all, in themselves, and then in all those with whom they have any dealings. Isn't that beautiful? Because you can't give what you don't have. You can't give Jesus if you don't have Jesus, right? You're just, you know, a babbling brook. It goes on, the first soul Mary wishes to lead to her son is, before all others, that of the religious himself. And he's talking specifically to his brothers here. But I would say all of those created in the image and likeness of God, broadening it out. It is in that soul that she wishes most of all to succeed, because it belongs to her by a unique title, and because from it she has the right to expect the finest cooperation. And here, of course, he's talking about the order, the Society of Mary, the Marianists, right? That's what he's talking about. But that applies to all of us, because we are all children of Mary. We are all children of Mary by the very fact that our brother Jesus Christ was given birth by way of her. So I just want to encourage you in your walk of faith today. I want to encourage you to find out more about our mother. I want to encourage you to take our Foundational Women's Study and to take the other studies that are available. Okie dokie, I see people here. They're waiting for us, and I'm excited about that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. When we come back, we're going to be with Steph, who is in Southern California, and Julie, who is in Rochester, New York. And guess what? We can be with you today, too. Yes, we can. Phone lines are open. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page there is available to you. And in addition to that, you can text us. All of those ways that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. Call us, 833-288-EWTN. Go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, use the chat feature, or text the letters EWTN to 58177 and leave your message there. Message and data rates apply that way, perhaps. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. Our phone lines are lighting up, and you know that lights me up. I get very, very, very happy about that. So please do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. Matthew Gubensky would love to talk with you, and so would I. That's 833-288-EWTN or 833-288-3986. It's a toll-free number for you right here in North America. Another way in which you can reach us too is through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. It's Pedro Quiles who does the collecting there. Yes, he does. He does a good job of collecting. I like to call him our golden retriever. Isn't that lovely? Anyway, when you go out there, use that chat feature. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we'll get it retrieved. And another way too is for you to text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we're going to get you up on the board. Dandy Peaches, everybody's calling today. I'm so excited. We're going to go to Julie in just half a second. But first, I want to say, what was the name of the book? I got a question here. What was the name of the book you were talking about by someone named Emil? It is Emil Neubert, N-E-U-B-E. Let me just see now. Where did I put my book? Here it is. Okay. N-E-U-B-E-R-T. N-E-U-B as in boy, E-R-T, Emile, E-M-I-L-E, Newbert. He is French. His books are in English, though. And I was reading today from this book called Our Gift from God. And it was a book that he wrote for his Society of Mary Brothers. However, all of that being said, it's abundantly useful for us as well. Additionally, the other book that I talked about was that he's written is Jesus, Son of Mary, My Ideal. Or it might be My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary. I can't tell by the way that the title is. My Ideal is in bigger letters, but it's preceded by Jesus, Son of Mary. So I'm not sure which way. But I will tell you this, it's a beautiful, beautiful book. They're all beautiful. Get as many of his books as you possibly can. We carry them at our website, womenofgrace.com. So get a few. Another one that's beautiful that we republish through Women of Grace is Mary, Queen of Militants. Okay, phone lines are lighting up. Thank you so very much, everybody. Stay with me. I'm going to get to you very shortly. Right now, I'm going to start 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Julie on the air. She is from Rochester, New York today, listening to us via iHeartRadio. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Chana. Can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you perfectly.
Good. Thank you. I wanted to share a story because of the miracle that took place. My daughter and my son-in-law both wanted to have a baby really bad, and they were part of the adoption process. And a year ago, I sent in a prayer request to EWTN, and I put around the edge of it, just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, kind of trying to make it stick out a little more because of the sincere intent of the hurt and longing for a child. And as you know, the adoption process is not a simple one. It can be rather complex. And after the holidays, my daughter came to me and was really upset and crying and heartbroken, really. And I just told her to keep the faith, to hang in there. And they were about ready to give up the adoption process. And about a week before they were going to give this up, they got a phone call from the agency saying that they were one of several couples being, you know, considered for a newborn baby that was going to be born this coming July. And miraculously, they were chosen, which, of course, was a very joyful, tearful, you know, oh my goodness. I mean, just to make it through that process, to get to that phase. The baby was born in July, and my daughter and son-in-law have been taking beautiful care of their new baby girl, and the adoption process will prayerfully be complete rather soon. This mother that gave her baby up for adoption chose to give her life. She's had other children, and for some reason, she chose to keep this baby. Mm-hmm. And this coming Sunday, the baby will be baptized into the Catholic faith. And I just find the miracle that it was a year ago that I sent in that prayer request for All Souls Day, that on All Souls Day, she will be baptized into our Catholic faith.
Oh, Julie, that is a beautiful story. Oh, I'm telling you, that is just such a lovely, lovely story on so many levels. I mean, the fact that your daughter and son-in-law wanted to have this child so desperately, wanted to bring a little one into their home, wanted to welcome that little one and raise her according to the will of the Father is just a beautiful, beautiful story. The fact that they were just about ready to give up and yet hung in there, I was thinking to myself, oh, that little baby was growing in its mommy's womb. God knew exactly who was going to get that baby. So how beautiful that they had the perseverance, the fortitude, and the willingness to hang in there. And then even through the fact that there were several other couples that wanted this little girl, that they were chosen. So it's as if God, you know, had just really full intentions of entrusting this child to them. And, you know, I think that that is all really well confirmed by the fact that here it is, and she's going to be baptized on the very day that you were requesting the prayers for her or to come into the lives of your children to take place. And what a glorious, glorious message today. And I thank you so much. And I want to underscore something here. You know, we live in a day and time where the sacrament of matrimony is not respected, not understood in its fullness, where it is under attack. We live in a day and time when the whole family is under attack, and we certainly live in a day and time when the baby in the womb is left under attack, not only because of abortion, but also because of the utilitarian way in which the world treats babies, from the concept of them to the actual conception of them in some cases, as if they're a commodity, as opposed to being a human person created in the image and likeness of God. But it underscores something here, especially with relation to the abortion issue. You say that there were several other couples that were being considered for this one child. Abortion has rendered these children, an impossible opportunity, and that is to be born and to be welcomed into the arms of someone who desperately wants to have them. I want to petition anyone listening today that if you are anticipating an abortion, or if in fact you have a child who is conceived out of wedlock and you're frantic about it, and this thought keeps running through your mind, I am begging you, please bring this child into the world. Let this child have life. There are loving arms that want to receive this child, and those loving arms might be your very own. So I encourage you, please, do not do what the world says, but do what God says, to respect every human life, because every human life is created in His image and likeness, and every human life, no matter the way in which that human life is conceived, every human life is intentioned by God to have life. So, Julie, this is just a beautiful, beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. And may God be praised. And we just thank all of you holy souls who prayed for this beautiful couple to have this beautiful child as well. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
You're welcome, darling. God bless you. It breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart at how we feel as though we can be the arbiters of who lives and who dies. You know, I'm not saying that every birth is conceived in love. That would be not true. Every birth is not necessarily conceived in love. But here is the fact. The fact that there is a conception means that the conception is of love, because the conception comes by way of God, and our God is love. So the means may not have been a loving means, but the child is of love, and the child is deeply loved and treasured by God. And so we should do likewise. Thank you, Julie. Let's go to Steph. And guess what? You can call us too. A couple of you hung up. Call me back. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live. We love talking with you. Well, Steph is out there, and Steph is with us via YouTube. So she did call in, and I'm glad. Share with us. How are you, Steph?
Hello. Thank you. Just wanted to share, this is sort of a glory to God moment, but when you started the program, you were reading about it from Louis de Montfort, is that correct?
No, Emil Neuber.
Okay, that one. Okay, that was the one. But about, the Blessed Mother, and I have a holy example that has been in my mind and heart for years, and it's an auntie and uncle used to go to Mass with them. And my auntie would have her rosary beads. They were like white or crystal. But the gentleman, he wouldn't like use them at Mass. But one time that I stopped by to visit, in the corner of their living room on the side table, which had a drawer, but on top of the table there, the little side table, were these black rosary beads. And I believe that they really were from used by my uncle. So all these years, I have thought about that. It's like a holy example. And I just imagine when in times when I've been in stress or I didn't know what to do, and then I would just literally in a moment, like I'm at work, right? I'm literally at a job work. But I would put myself and just be in that space, and I would visually see. It just has been such a holy example, those black rosary beads. And it's something that has carried me through, and I feel such a peace. And I think it's the relationship with the uncle, too, and my dad had passed. So it's just a very beautiful example. And sometimes we don't even know, but having those holy examples, I know Mother Angelica would say the holy reminder, but this is like a holy, just human in the home example, and it has been so powerful. And I just wanted to share that sometimes we don't even know how we have an impact on others. And these dear auntie and uncle have passed a long time, but I think of them often, and I gain such a spiritual strength from that.
Mm. Steph, that is so beautiful. And, you know, as you're talking about your uncle, I have an uncle, of course, he's passed away, but he illustrated to me how important the rosary was to him too. And the fact that you had, you can still picture the rosary on his bedside table indicates that he probably prayed that rosary at night before he went to bed, or he might have even slept with his rosary, but it was very important for him to have it near at hand. I personally like to have a rosary near at hand. I've got them all over the house near at hand. Just about every single chair has a rosary nearby or readily available in a drawer beside the table. But my uncle, let me share with you about him. And he was in the Second World War, and he was a navigator in a plane. So he flew during the Second World War and was involved in battle after battle. And when I was a wee girl, I would see him in the nights behind my grandmother's house. He remained in the military when the war was over, went on to become a colonel. And they were never really located in the Pittsburgh area, that family. They were always somewhere else. But I can remember that Uncle Bill, they would come and visit, and they would stay with my grandmother at her home, and we would all be over there for dinners and things to visit with them. And I can remember he always used to leave after dinner, and he would go out. So one time I decided as a little girl, I was going to follow and see where he went. And where he went was out into the alley behind my grandma's home. And he walked up and down that alley. I could see him walking. And so when he came back, then I went back into the house. When he came in, I said, Uncle Bill, I saw you walking in the alley. What were you doing? And he was saying, I pray my rosary. I pray my rosary every night after dinner. And I thought, in adult years, it may well be that he made some kind of a promise to the Lord that he would say the rosary every day, you know, if he made it home from the war, which of course he did. I have no idea. Maybe that was a longstanding practice that he had from his youth. But I can still see him, as you can see that rosary sitting on the bedside table of your uncle's. I can see my uncle walking up and down the alley praying that rosary. And it's made such a deep impression on me, just like your uncle made such a deep impression on you. What holy men, right? What holy men they must have been, huh?
Pilot, World War II, you know, from the Greatest Generation. And this faith in their older years, anyway, it's a beautiful, I love your story. Thank you so much. It's making such an impact, and I'm going to carry your uncle with my uncle. I think they're up there praying the rosary for us right now. It's so beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it would be a living rosary. They're probably just going straight to Our Lady and saying, Hail Mary, full of grace. Can you imagine how glorious that's going to be? Well, what is your uncle's first name?
Oh, gosh. It was, Michael.
Michael. Okay. So I'll pray for your Uncle Michael, and you pray for my Uncle Bill, okay?
I sure will. Have a lovely day, and thank you so much.
You're welcome, Steph. Thank you so much for your call. What a beautiful call. Yeah, you know, it's just incredible that these it's the small things that people notice that we have no idea that they notice that make a deep impression on them. And really can, you know, come back at various moments in their life and remain an inspiration to them, even when they're well into their adult years, you know. The rosary was not always one of my favorite prayers, I'll tell you that. It was not. It was a long prayer. And I think that I was first really introduced to the rosary by way of the teachers that I had. I had religious sisters, so there was that, of course, and they wore the rosary. But also through my grandma and my grandfather. My grandma, and I've told you this many times, my grandmother, my dad's mother, was a rosary-praying grandma, and she had 13 grandchildren, and she told me in her later years that she prayed a rosary a day for each one of us. That's 13 rosaries a day. But I can remember when I was a little girl, we used to go on vacations as a family, and I mean like all of my aunts and uncles and cousins, we would all go together. And we would go to Geneva on the lake up there in Lake on Lake Erie. And it was always a real treat to ride in Grandma and Grandpa's car. And so I would ride in that car with my two girl cousins, and off we would go. And Grandma and Grandpa began every trip by praying the rosary out loud. And, you know, and our girls would, the girls and I, we would suffer through it, really, because it was a long prayer. And all we really wanted to do was talk to each other, you know. But we would make our way there. So, you know, my first impression of the rosary was lovely hanging from the side of the sisters' belts, you know. But, you know, the actual practice of it was not one that I really favored. And I didn't favor it at all until well after my reversion to the faith, well after I was very involved in a prayer life and very involved with the prayer community, well after all of that, I was invited to write an article for the Florida Catholic, which was the paper for the entire state of Florida, and every diocese had its own section in it. But I was invited to write an article on the rosary, and I accepted. And then when I sat down to do it, I thought, well, you don't have anything at all to share about the rosary because it's not a favorite prayer of yours, and you only pray it in groups. You know, I didn't pray it every day. So what was I going to do? Well, I decided this is what I would do. I would write a meditation for each of the mysteries of the rosary. At that time, there were 15. Of course, John Paul II gave us the luminous mysteries much later on. So I wrote 15 meditations, one for each one of them. This short article turned out to be a 2-page spread in the middle section of the paper. And as I was writing those meditations, something began to take place within my heart. A love for the rosary began to develop. You know, I think that the Lord used that opportunity to write an article on the rosary as an excuse to bring this daughter into a relationship with the rosary and with him and his son by way of it. And so I began to pray the rosary. And now the rosary is like, you know, it is my go-to prayer. I love the rosary. I pray it every day. I love the rosary. There is so much there, and it has taken me so deeply into the mysteries of Christ's life, and I always ask Our Lady to do that. So when you pray the rosary, maybe you struggle with it too, but this is what I do. I ask Our Mother at the beginning. I say, Mother, please take me into these mysteries of your son's life, but more importantly, may these mysteries enter into me, right? Take me into them, but let them enter into me, that they might become part of the fabric of who I am. I remember John Paul II said that the rosary was the rhythm. It set the rhythm for his life. Think about that. It set the rhythm for his life. He writes about that in his apostolic letter on the rosary that he wrote late into his pontificate, about 5 years prior to his death. And I always have felt when I've read that apostolic letter, and I've read it many times, that it is almost as if it's like a grandfather imparting to his children the nuggets of wisdom that are most important to him, the thing that has made the biggest difference in his life. And truly indeed, that beautiful, beautiful apostolic letter gives us ways to enter into that rosary ever more deeply. So, you know, if you haven't prayed the rosary in a long, long time, just pick it up again and ask our mother, Mother, walk me into these mysteries of your son's life. Be with me, Mother. Open them up for me. Let them unfold that I might see them. Show them to me as you saw them happening in his life. That's what John Paul says to do. And then, Mother, now I ask that through your spouse, the Holy Spirit, that these mysteries would move into me, that they would become part of who I am, lived in me and lived through me by way of God's divine and holy providence in his will. So, you know, just some thoughts today about the rosary, which Steph brought up. Just beautiful calls that have come in about this. And, you know, any time that we can find, a writer who helps us to appreciate more deeply the gift of Our Lady and the gift of the rosary, well, we should hearken to that person. And Father Emil Neubert is one of those persons, as is Steph that I was referring to, Louis de Montfort. But Louis de Montfort is the Mac Daddy. He's the Mac Daddy of Marian devotion. Oh, I get joyful just thinking about it. Well, my goodness sakes, I'm always joyful to be with you, that's for sure. Right here, Monday through Friday at the same time on the same station as we discuss issues of importance to our life and faith. I invite you to join me here Monday through Friday. And I invite you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and to see all of the wonderful things that are happening. So, you know, I've been talking about our mother all through the program today. If you want to get to know her better, well, we've got two opportunities for you coming up November the 5th and November the 6th. One of our two Moments with Mary studies, one each being offered each day. Get out to womenofgrace.com. God bless all of you. Bye-bye now.